Thank you for your presence. We thank you for everything that you want to do in every heart and every life that is represented this morning. And God, we say, have your way in this place. Have your way in my heart and in our lives. Holy Spirit, we yield this service to you. And we say, do what only you can do in every heart and life. We love you. We thank you for all that you're going to do in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Come on and just stand and worship
amen.
With us this morning.
You guys ready to get into worship this morning?
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you.
Out of the darkness into your glorious day.
You are good, you are good. When there's nothing good in me, you are love, you are love. On display for all to see. You are light, you are light. When the darkness closes in, you are hope, you are hope. You have covered all my sin. And you are peace, you are peace. When my fear is crippling, you are true, you are true. Even in my wandering, you are joy, you are joy. You're the reason that I sing. You are life, you are life. In you death has lost its sting. And oh, I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace, light of the world forever reign. And you are more than my words will ever say. You are Lord, all creation will proclaim.
This time we want to just open the altars to everyone here and just welcome you guys down. We want you to know that you can come and lay your problems, your worries, your troubles at the feet of Jesus. You know, he tore the veil so that we could come before him just by ourselves with everything that we have and all that we are and just say, Jesus, I'm yours. So this morning we encourage you guys to come down to the altar and just spend time with Jesus. Hallelujah.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, and nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. And my sin was great, your love was greater. And what could say
yours.
spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. And you have been so, so kind to me.
Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming up. Thank you, Jesus. As we remain standing, this is a worship song where we can testify what God had done for us, for the cross, for his sacrifice. This song just says it all. And I want to pray, Father, that you continue to put in our hearts, Jesus, that your love is never ending. And Father, when we open our hearts and our minds, when we invite you into our hearts, we do recognize that love that you have given us, Father. Father, we want to be the same. We want to love others as you have told us to do, Father. And I pray, Father, that you put it in our hearts, that we help others recognize your love, Jesus. This is what this church is all about. We want to spread the word. We want to spread your love, Jesus. And I pray that you give us strength, that you give us courage, that you give us determination, Father. Now that we know who you are, that we can walk that mission, Father. Father, we thank you for the blessings that you have given us, Father, through the years, despite of sometimes we forget about it. But today, Father, I remember when I gave my heart to you, Father, when we gave our hearts to you, Father, you did the impossible, Jesus. Help us, O Lord Jesus, Father. It is in your precious name that we pray, Father Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. You know, second service, I can tell you, you guys were in it. You know, we can relate to that song. I can relate to that song because it just says it all. And our hands to the worship team. They did a very good job. Thank you, worship team. I just want to go through some announcements pretty quick. But first and foremost, if this is the first time you're here with us, we really appreciate you coming. It is a blessing to us to have new people coming. There's a connect card in front of you. It's a blue card. You can't miss it. So if you want to put your name and number, you know, we'll try to contact you this coming week. We welcome you to our church. If you need prayer, you can use the same card. On the back side of the card, you can put your prayer request. And, you know, you can always contact the office if you need anything. Our pastoral staff is always available to pray with you and to tend to your needs, as well as all the members of our church. Let me go very quick to some announcements because we have a full program, and we have a lot of exciting things coming up. The first thing is tonight. What's tonight? 6 o'clock. Special meeting, voting for our board members. We have 2 vacancies that needs to be filled up, and we invite all our members to be here because we need a quorum to be able to make it official. If you want to come, if you're not a member yet, but you still want to come, you're invited to do so. Our pastor, as a chairman, he puts an invitation out for you to be here. And I just want to mention the names very quick so you know who's been nominated for the positions that are vacant. Number one is Anderson Baxham. He sits over there on my left side, but he comes in the first service. How many of you know Anderson? Very quiet guy, but he's a very nice guy. Second one is Joe Heck. Joe is here with us this morning. Joe, if you might. He's very shy. You can get up. There we go. Joe has been nominated, also a good supporter of our church. Third one is Ruben Hernandez. He attends a third service. Ruben works with the sound system. He supports Pastor Luna, Martha Luna, and he's been with us for quite a bit of time, always supporting the church. Number four is Orville Kerr. Who doesn't know Orville Kerr? He's in the back here. He's been with the church for the longest, I think, one of them. So he's considered an older. number five is John Souther. John Souther, anybody who goes to the cafe knows John Souther, right? So they have 5 nominees, and we have to vote for 2. So this afternoon at 6 o'clock, when you get your ballots, you're going to mark 2 candidates that you would like to see serve as a board member. And I'm looking forward to that because one of the positions that they're replacing is mine. All right. Number 2. What's number 2? Membership class. okay? If you want to vote the next time around, you need to come to the membership class. We have a list outside. I know a lot of people had signed up for it. You will learn what it's all about to be a member of a church, of this church, an Assemblies of God church. So it is very interesting. It's going to be at 5:30 through 8 o'clock. Pastor Robbie will lead that. That's next Sunday, the 30th. So don't miss it. If you want to be a member of the church, I do encourage you to be a member of this church. It is very good. You have to give up your life, come to church every day. But no, just kidding. Number three, the boys, younger boys are going to what they call the roundup. It's a camp out. We have two of those events a year with the Royal Rangers. And the details are there. So if you have younger kids that they might be interested, and their dads. But it's called the roundup, so it's a cowboy thing, right? Well, I try to dress up like a cowboy today to make the announcement. But the most important part of it is we have a lunch sale today, spaghetti with something on it. And our chef, John, and the assistant chefs are preparing the lunch. So it's a $5 per lunch, lunch box. I think Rick is back there with a lunch box. You get a lot for $5. I don't think you can get that as good as that anywhere else in South Florida. So if you're on a diet, you can just leave some donation, okay? So number four, let's see. I don't want to forget anything. The girls, little girls, they're going to have a sleepover next Friday in the evening. The details are here. See Miss Ruth Suarez. If you have any young girls that want to sleep over, here the church is a sectional activity with the missionettes. And they go through a lot of things. And I think they call that a pajama party or something like that. I don't know. It's not. Pastor Sidney said no. So, but look at the details there. Number five, tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Say tomorrow at 10 o'clock. If you are retired or you don't want to work tomorrow, you can take the day off and come here at 10 o'clock. It's all hands help. We are, as you know, we are looking to relocate some of the rooms, remove and remodel them. They're going to come in to do the flooring later in the week. So we need some hands to help, you know, pull carpet out and do some moving and some stuff. And Pastor Sidney is in charge with that with Pastor Robbie. So if you have time to come tomorrow at 10 a.m., please come and help. I can't. I have an audit coming up, so I can't. But anyway, we really appreciate you guys coming and help. Last week we had some help as well. And how many of you know that the children's ministry is one of the most important ministries in our church? We have to form these kids. And Pastor Sidney has come to lead the children's church, and we're so excited about that. And that's it all I have. Pastor Sidney will be giving the word this morning. Pastor Robbie was here this morning, but he had a one-in-a-lifetime chance to bring the boys to a special event, so we were all agreed that he needed to do that. And Pastor Sidney is going to talk about Moses. It's the same thing that Pastor Robbie has been going through the series. So she said that she's not as good as him, but we'll have to see. Everybody put the notes out and make some marks and see what happens. Thank you, Pastor Sidney.
Amen. If you could stop the live stream now. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. It's so good to see you. We're going to, I need my ushers to get themselves ready because we're going to take up our tithes and offering. How many of you know that this is a part of our worship, is returning to God what is all His anyway? And so, Lord, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity this morning to return to you in our tithe and offering. Lord, We know that there is so much that you've called us to do as a church and as a people. And Lord, may we be found faithful to do what you've called us to do. And Lord, would you use this tithe, use this offering, Lord, so that your gospel can be spread all over this world. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. We have an incredibly special treat this morning, and it's not me. We have a young lady who is a missionary with us. My husband was alluding to the fact in the first service that part of the vision of LifePoint is missions. How many of you know that God is concerned with souls, with people's lives? Scripture teaches us that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we need to be about his business. And so we are a huge believers in missions. Missions right here in our backyard, but missions also overseas. And today we have a young lady who she's become one of my favorites, because I think, Taylor, you can make your way up. She's 21 years old. 21 years old. Pastor Robbie thought she was 19. I apologize for my husband's. But Taylor has answered the call by saying yes to the Lord. And part of being a missionary with the Assemblies of God is Taylor. I want to just kind of give you a little perspective. Taylor works full-time at Publix, or part-time, or you work at Publix, in Lakeland, Florida. And we know where that is because we used to live there. It takes 3.5 hours, if traffic is right, to get there. And Taylor worked till 11 p.m. last night at Publix and woke up at 4 o'clock this morning and drove from Lakeland here so that she can share what God has called her to do, so that us as a body can come around Taylor and say, yes, Taylor, we're going to support you, and we're gonna be your arms and your feet, and we're going to help you get to the mission field where God called you. And so we want you to understand that we love this young lady, and we are going to support her. Pastor Robbie and I, we have missionaries that we support on our own, just by ourselves, not even just as a church, because we believe so strongly in missions. So could you do me a favor? Pastor Rob had everyone do this. Can you just stand to your feet and give an incredible LifePoint welcome to Miss Taylor Harrison?
Thank you, guys. Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? Good, good. I got an opportunity to meet a lot of you guys, or some of you guys, this morning at my table. So if I didn't already, I'd love to meet you guys after service. I also wanted to thank you so much, Pastor, for giving me the opportunity to speak to you guys this morning. So we really appreciate that. Okay, so let's take a trip to Belgium. Imagine stepping on a brick road on a breezy afternoon. Beautiful buildings, trendy coffee shops, stores, and tourist shopping areas everywhere. Waffle houses and french fries on every corner. And Belgium chocolate. You see people for miles focused on what they need to get done for the day in a country that is no bigger than the state of Maryland with 11 million people. You see diamond shops, as Antwerp is known as the Diamond District. Castles and cathedrals everywhere. Breathtaking boating canals all throughout the city. At night, the city is lit up with life. It seems Antwerp never sleeps. But here's what you don't see. The dark side of Belgium. In the middle of the business, in the middle of the crowd that has everything, they are lost. Belgium is the most spiritually dead place in the world, with only 2% being born-again Christians. One of the most highly educated crowds is missing what they need the most. Christ. In the middle of the city, in the middle of the city of the historic churches, you can see that there are people who do not even know what an altar is for. Telling someone about Jesus would be very similar as if I told you I believed in the fairy godmother. If I told you that I believed in the fairy godmother and all the wonderful things that she did for my life, you would look at me like I was crazy. That is the same reaction you would get if you told others about your relationship with Christ in Belgium. In the middle of the city, you can stroll through the streets with stores and with big windows that show off their product, very much like if you were walking through somewhere like an outlet mall. Only their product isn't things, it's people, as prostitution is legal there. So how do we reach people that are so against hearing about the gospel? In Belgium, I would have the opportunity to work with Pastor Robert Raquel Suarez doing church planting. In addition, I'll also be involved in helping victims of human trafficking. Church planting is a bit different in Belgium. In order to reach those that are so content where they are, we come to them. We do this by holding a coffee house, international food night, game night, as well as being the only international Pentecostal church in Antwerp called Central Community. We reach out to the dark. We reach out to those who are lost and draw them out towards a light by building relationships. Human trafficking is a $150 billion business. In Europe, every 66 minutes, someone is trafficked. By the end of this service, a man or woman will be held captive against their will. In order to help restore those victims, I'll be a part of a team that works directly with them, providing them hope through the gospel, as well as helping develop their talents and passions and give them job opportunities and put them on track for a more successful life. I was called to missions when I was 16. And as overwhelming as that sometimes can feel, the great news is, I know I'm not alone. I know God is with me. But you play a part in this too, by walking through this with me and leading others out one by one. And there are two ways you can do this, by praying and giving. I've been already so blown away by the opportunities that God has given me and the many hearts he has touched. I'm so excited to see what God is going to do in Belgium, and I'm overwhelmed that he's chosen me to be part of his plan, just like you are. Thank you again, Pastor, and thank you guys for all your time. And if you want to go ahead and play that video.
When I was 16 years old, I was called into missions, and it was after I read the book Redeeming Love by Francine Rivers, and after I read that book, I heard God tell me, Taylor, I want you to do that, and at that point, I didn't really understand what God was calling me to do, and I was just thinking in my head, like, God, where do you want me to go? Like, how am I going to get there? Do I need to start saving now? And I just heard God's voice say, Taylor, I've moved mountains in your life before. Do you not think that I can do it again? So I was ready to go.
At the age of 16, she came and told her dad and I that she felt the Lord was calling her into missions, and specifically to human trafficking, which was a pretty awesome thing.
And for over 5 years, I've seen a dedicated young lady growing closer each day to Christ. And it's so exciting seeing the call of God on her life come to fruition.
I think that Taylor is the right fit for this task because she is sincere, she is compassionate, she wants to be obedient to what the Lord wants her to do, and do it well.
I remember when we first came to Southside, she was so welcoming, so loving, and she made my entire family just feel like we were part of the church immediately.
It's a big problem in the world, and especially in Belgium, they have prostitution is legal there. So it's basically a business. And they take these girls and put them into sex trafficking and make them sleep with several people a night, several men a night, and abuse them in ways that you cannot imagine. In Belgium, I'll be working with Robert and Raquel Suarez, and we'll be doing church planting. And on the side, I'll be doing anti-human trafficking. And one of the things that they do in their church, which is called Central Community, they hold a coffee house, which is great for me because I'm a coffee addict, so that's a plus. They also have AA meetings. They do children's ministry. They do board game nights and international food night and so much more. And by doing this, they are able to reach Muslims and secular Europeans and internationals.
She is the hardest worker, most passionate person. She's so dedicated, and I cannot wait to see what God does in her life.
She actually became a missionary at our school. And so I was able to see firsthand the impact that she made on people's lives, including mine.
I have watched her grow and develop the talents that God has given her since she was in middle school. And I just am so excited about what God has planned for her. And I hope you will become a partner with her in this exciting adventure, because I know that she is going to do big things for the kingdom.
It makes my heart kind of sad that she's going overseas, but it makes me also happy that she's fulfilling the calling on her life. And I want you guys out there that see this video to pray for her and also to support her.
Our hearts are heavy. We've always prayed for our children. We pray for Taylor that she would follow the voice of the Lord, just like we do with our other daughter and our son. But now we have a specific prayer for Taylor, and that is that she will carry the gospel to the people of Belgium.
So I fully support this young lady, and I would say give her the opportunity to speak into the life of your people. Thank you very much, and God bless.
Support you, Taylor. And man, I feel overwhelmed by the presence of the Lord. And Taylor, I believe that God's got big things in store for your life. Any mamas in the house? I know Taylor's mom, Tanya. I can't imagine what it would be like. I talked to your mom on several occasions about how do you feel about Taylor going on the mission field. My heart's heavy, but she said we've known since she was 16 that God was going to use her. And so we've just surrendered her life to the Lord, and we just know that God's going to take care of her. And so here's what we want, LifePoint. We want you to pray for Taylor. When are you wanting to get to the field? When are you supposed to go? 4 more months of doing what she's doing this morning. 4 more months. And I believe that God's going to enable Taylor to be there on her day that she wants to be there. And so at when the service is over, she's got a table out there. I would encourage you, grab one of her prayer cards, sign up for her newsletter, and just follow her and just pray. Every time you open up your Bible, let her card be there so that you can pray for her, that the Lord would do what he wants to do in her life. Amen? Amen. It's very interesting that Taylor's with us this morning, and we have started a series. Yes, I am Pastor Sydney. I am Pastor Robbie's wife. I'm sorry that you chose to come to the 10:45 service this morning. I know that my husband is exciting and crazy and wild. Sometimes I don't even know. I just find myself going like this when he says stuff because he's just so funny. We started a series last week on Moses, the life of Moses, lessons that we can learn from the life of Moses. How many of you ever read through the book of Exodus and know that there is a lot of good stuff in there that we can learn from Moses' life? And it's really interesting that today we're here with Taylor and we're talking. The title of my, I always tend to give a title to my message. So Pastor Robbie spoke in the first service, and it is incredible how different him and I are. Just so you know. And we can take the same passage and it can be incredibly different. But that's okay. You can just go back and try to listen to his and see which one you like better. Just don't tell us because we want to love you. But Moses, let me give you a little backstory. Today we're going to be in Exodus chapter 4. But let me give you a little backstory. Moses is not really any different than you and I. Moses has some baggage, has some past. He was born to a Hebrew woman. And in the time when Moses was born, there was an edict to kill all the males that were born. And the women that were supposed to kill Moses saw that there was something special, and they did not kill him. And they hid him for 3 months. And then the mom, you guys know this, Pastor Robbie talked about it last week, that she built an ark. It doesn't, we always know it as a basket, right? And she built this, and she laid Moses in it, and she, in an effort to save her son, she lets him go into the river, and there Pharaoh's daughter is bathing, and she hears the sound, and she finds baby Moses, and she says, "Bring him to me." And Moses is then in her care, and she looks for somebody to nurse him and to raise him, and his own mother is the woman that is chosen. Does God not know what he's doing? And she then raises Moses until he was of age, and she returns him back to Pharaoh, and Moses was raised in Pharaoh's home. He is a Hebrew by birth. But he's raised in this foreign place. And Moses grows up, and one day the Bible says that Moses was out and he sees two people fighting, and one kills, and they're fighting, and then Moses comes up, and what does he do? He becomes a murderer. And Moses begins to flee. He gets nervous, and he becomes a fugitive. And he flees. And he's on the run 40 years on the backside of the desert. Midian, tending sheep. Exodus chapter 4 is where we pick up. The title of my message this morning is, Isn't There Anyone Else? Isn't there anyone else? I'm going to read Exodus chapter 4. Guys, if you can just follow me. If not, it's okay. I'm going to start in verse 1, and it says this. Then Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you." So the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, "Now put your hand in your bosom." And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, "Put your hand in your bosom again." So he puts it back in to his bosom again, and he drew it out of his bosom, and behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor do they heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. Verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." But again, he said, "Oh Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is not Aaron, the Levite, your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God." and you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. Father, we love your word. And we thank you for how you teach us, how you mold us, how you admonish us, how you correct us through your word. This morning, let your word do all that it is sent out to accomplish. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 3. Moses has this incredible burning bush experience on the backside of a desert. Moses encounters God in an incredible way. And God says to him, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of my children has come to me." Taylor, I believe that the cry of God's children has come to you for Antwerp, Belgium, and I believe he's sending you. But I want you to know that for Moses' life and what God had for Moses, it's all right here in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. He said, "Surely I have seen the oppression of my people, and I am sending a rescuer. I am sending someone to rescue and deliver my people." God loves his people, and his plan of rescue was on the way. I want to tell you a little bit of an illustration. It's kind of like an old joke, because today we are talking about the call of God on our lives. Now, I want to just let you know that you don't have to be a pastor or a minister or been to Bible college or know the Bible inside and out to say that God has a call on your life, because when you accept Jesus into your heart, you receive a call on your life. We all have a call on our life to do something for the Lord. But there's an old joke, so old, in fact, that some of the newer generation probably doesn't get it, so I'm going to tell it. But a young farmer standing in his field observes a peculiar cloud formation above his head. And the clouds were beginning to form, and they formed the letters G, P, and C. And he thinks that they were a call from God to go preach Christ. So the farmer rushes to the deacons of his church, and he insists that he has been called to preach. Respectful of this young farmer, they invite him to fill the pulpit. That Sunday, the sermon was long, tedious, virtually incoherent. When it finally ends, the leaders sit in stunned silence. Finally, one of the wiser deacons mutters to the would-be preacher, "Seems to me the clouds were saying, go plant corn." See, if it really happened that way, sometimes the call of God can be a bit confusing to us. But how many of you are thankful this morning that our call, that the call of God, that it doesn't matter whether people believe that we're called, if God has called us, that he is going to equip us and give us everything that we need to fulfill the destiny and the call on our life. Amen? And Moses knows this all too well. The biggest challenge that I see for Moses in this is accepting and surrendering the call in his life was himself. I feel like Moses had so many excuses in his bag of tricks that it just kept going on. As I read, how many of you are like me that when you read the Old Testament, when I read the Old Testament, I get frustrated? When I read it, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're like complaining about the Lord. He just brought you through this and you're complaining. And God, you had experienced God at a burning bush, and now you're saying to God, is there anybody else that you can send? Moses' resume was probably a lot like ours. He wasn't probably the number one pick. How many of you used to go, back in the day when I was in high school, it was like, we called it gym. Now it's PE, physical education. We go to gym class. I hated gym. I hated it. I would skip, well, back in the day, I barely went to school when I was in high school, probably because I hated gym so much. Because you'd get into gym class, right? And you'd be playing kickball or volleyball or whatever you play, and they always divided into two teams, and there's the captain on this team and the captain on this team, and then what happens? Then they begin to pick from everybody who they want on their team. Guess who was always last? This girl right here. I hated it. Because like Moses, I always felt, oh my goodness, I'm the least qualified. Moses is here in Exodus chapter 4 saying, I'm the last one that you should even consider for this job. Are you kidding me? What qualifies me to be doing the thing that you've called me to do, God? Can you ask someone else? You may feel unqualified. Maybe like me, you feel like you're the runt of the litter. However, God still chooses to call and use people who think that they are the most unqualified, the last person in the one to get called. That God still chooses to use people like that, because here's why. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29 says these words. It says, remember your calling, brother and sister, that not many of you were wise when God first chose you, when God first calls you. Not many of you were noble. Not many mighty are called, because God has chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. He's chosen the things that no one else would ever consider, so that number one and only is so that he gets the glory. Because you know what? People can look at multi-talented, awesome people and think, oh, you know, they have such great gifts. But when God sees somebody who says, I don't have anything. I don't have anything, but whatever I have, God, use it. And when God chooses to use what nobody else would use, he gets the glory for it. Moses had a lot of excuses. Exodus chapter 4, 1 through 10, it starts with Moses. What if they don't believe me? What if when I go, they don't believe me? What if they don't believe? And God begins to bring Moses through. How many of you wish that when God called you that he would map it out and tell you, okay, well, here you go. Okay, so the first thing that's going to happen in your life is you're going to go here, and then this is going to happen. It doesn't work that way, does it? Right? Because if it were, it would not be a walk of faith. But here in Exodus, Moses has something from the Lord. The Lord says, Moses, here's what's going to happen. What do you have in your hand? Moses has a rod. To you and I, that may seem incredibly insignificant. A rod. He has a staff. And God begins to have this conversation with Moses, saying, Moses, I'm going to do this. And here's what I'm going to do. When you go, if they don't believe you, I want you to throw the staff down, and it's going to turn into a snake. Moses got freaked out and ran away, right? And then he said, I want you to put your hand in. All of these signs I'm going to do because I'm going to show my glory, and I'm going to put my stamp of approval on your life. Well, that would be enough for me. I'm sorry. God just told me all those things. And then Moses, still with his excuses. But God, oh, don't you know that I am slow of speech? I'm not very eloquent. Why would you send me? Why would you send me? I have a deficiency. I can't speak. You want me to talk in front of all these people? It reminds me of a story. I went to Central Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, after I went through Teen Challenge in New York, and I felt the call of God on my life. And I went to CBC, and I remember that I was in homiletics. Now, homiletics is where they teach you how to preach. Well, I went to CBC, and I thought, I'm not taking that class ever. Nope. I just want to love people. I want to serve. I don't want to preach. That's not what I want to do. So I'm not really, I had to take the homiletics class. It was part of it. Everybody did. Because when I went to Bible college, it was a straight Bible college. There was no, you can get a nursing degree. It was Bible college. Everybody coming out of the school was called to preach. So I remember in my homiletics class sitting there. Well, first assignment, you got to preach a 15-minute message. I said, oh, gosh. Well, I wrestled, and I remember I would go to my dorm room, and I would pray over my message, and then I'd close my computer and say, I'm dropping the class. I'm quitting. I can't do this. And I remember finally the day came where I had to deliver the sermon. And so back then, we used to have to preach like this to our class, except while we were preaching, our classmates had pieces of paper that were called sermon critiques. And the whole time they're critiquing you, you stink. You stink. That's what I'm thinking they're saying, you know, as I'm preaching. And they're critiquing me. Well, it's supposed to be a 15-minute sermon. I get up there. My knees are knocking. I am scared out of my wits. And I remember 15 minutes. I preached that sermon in 7.5 minutes flat. I was so fast. I was wanting to get up there and get down so quick. Well, then they video you, and then you have to go home, watch the video, and critique your own self. Well, guess what I couldn't do? I couldn't watch it. I could not watch it. And I think about that because I think of how the enemy tried to use that to bring fear into my life, the very thing that God had called me to do, he was trying to bring fear and doubt. And Moses is here. God, don't you know that I am slow of speech and slow of tongue? How many of you have excuses in your life? Well, don't you know that I have 5 kids? And don't you know that I have this? Or don't you know that I have to work full time? Don't you know that I can't do it because of this? Or we all have those excuses in our life for why we cannot do what God is calling us to do. What are the excuses in your life? What are they in my life? Moses had a bunch. And wouldn't you think it would be like God, so compassionate and merciful? Oh, okay, Moses, pat him on the back. No. No, that's not what happened, is it? God turns to Moses and he said, who is man? Who do you think made that very mouth that you said is something wrong with? Who do you think made the mute and the deaf? And basically, what God is saying is, it doesn't matter, Moses. It doesn't matter, Moses, what your deficiency is, because this Exodus chapter 3, when the Bible says that the groanings of God's people, it reached his ears. It has never been about you, Moses, but it has always been about fulfilling my plan to rescue my people. Now, you tell me about your deficiencies, and I'm going to tell you about how strong and powerful I am. God is not concerned about our deficiencies. He is not concerned. Do you not think that he knows whether you are slow of speech or whether you get stage fright in front of people or whether you sometimes can't focus well? Do you not think that the same God who created you doesn't realize your deficiencies? Moses, so concerned with himself, and God reminds him, it has never, ever been about you, Moses. Are you going to say yes? Are you going to go? And are you going to allow my power and my glory to be displayed through your life? God's response to Moses' excuses are a few things. Basically, he affirms Moses that, hey, I'm going to make up for wherever you slack. And as a matter of fact, in our weakness, God has already got the plan. Well, God, I can't because you know I have to do this. I take care of my mom or I do this. In our weakness, God has already got the plan. God knows what we need to fulfill his plan before he even calls us. And so when we read in here, after Moses tells God, send somebody else. Isn't there anyone else? God says to Moses, no, I'm the one that made the mouth. I'm the one that created the mouth. And then he says, wait, what about your brother Aaron? Well, guess what? Moses hadn't seen Aaron in a long time. But God had already prepared Aaron. And God was already sending, God says to Moses, look, Moses, Aaron is already on his way to meet you. He can speak. He actually speaks really well, doesn't he? Well, I'm going to use you to speak through him. You're going to be like God to him, and he's going to be the mouthpiece. God was already preparing the plan. God didn't ask Moses, hey, I want you to go and speak. You know what he said? He said, I want you to throw down, give me whatever is in your hand, and I want to use it for my glory. But Moses was so focused on his inabilities, his insufficiencies, that he couldn't see that God, that it was never about him, and it was always about God's plan to rescue his kids because he loves them so much. And do you know that God has not changed? That it has not changed. And there are many times in my life that I have stood before people and I have cried out to God and I've said, why me? I remember the day that God called me to ministry. 6 months, teen challenge. Man, I'm like 6 months clean of drugs and alcohol and crazy lifestyle. And I remember we were at an outreach. The teen challenge that I went through in Long Island was super outreach. And we would do street crusades and street rallies, and we'd go into the middle of the streets, and we would just set up shop. We'd cook hamburgers and hot dogs, and we would go knock door to door, and we would set up Teen Challenge choir, and we were hardcore. And we would just stand in the middle of the street on a makeshift stage, and we would sing the praises of God. And I remember one day we were in the middle of a community that was so drug-ridden. And I remember one day, Pastor Jimmy, my pastor, he was preaching, and this man, he was about 20-something years old, young guy, just comes up to the altar, just ridden. He was a heroin addict so bad. And I remember this kid, he comes down to the altar, and me and a couple of the girls in the program, we just kind of stood behind him and prayed. I remember I wept so bitterly. I wept as I looked at this young man. And I cried and I cried. And for hours I cried. And we took that man and we brought him to Teen Challenge that day, that night. But I remember going back to my dorm of 6 months. I was in a room with six other girls. Oh, gosh, that was hard. And bunk beds, you know, I'm like, oh, my goodness, Lord, what is going on? And I just cried for hours. I couldn't stop crying. And I remember nobody was in the room at this time. I don't know why. I think it was because God had an ordained moment for me. And I remember falling on my knees in the middle of this of our room. And I just began to ask the Lord, why? Why am I crying? Why am I weeping so badly over this young man? I don't even know him. Why am I weeping? Why? And the Lord spoke to me so clearly. It's because I've called you to weep over the things that break my heart. And I've called you to serve me and to help bring freedom and life to people that are held in bondage, that are in sin, and to people all over. And that moment, I was like, oh, I had a Moses experience. Because I said, who am I? I can't do it. I'm so a mess. My life stinks. I don't come from a pastoral household. I don't come from a lineage of faith. I don't come from all of that. But why me? And I began to have that Moses experience. Isn't there anyone else? And I began to have that experience, and the Holy Spirit led me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26. And it says, remember your calling, that not many were wise. And I closed my Bible and I said, here, my Lord, send me. I don't have anything, but what I have, I give it to you. And in this room this morning, there are probably people that say, I don't have anything. A rod didn't look like much, but I want to let you know that a rod in the hand of an almighty God can do miracles, can move mountains. And you may be in this room this morning and you say, I don't have anything to offer. Can you send somebody else? God, one of the saddest things to me as a pastor, and we've heard it for over and over, and a lot of it is with older people, who will say to us, Pastor, you know, when I know a woman, Taylor, that when she was about your age, God called her to be a missionary. And she's in her 40s now. And she always says to me, Pastor Sydney, I wish that I would have listened to God and fulfilled the call to be a missionary. God called me to be a missionary when I was just a little girl. What are the excuses? God is not looking for the eloquent. He's not looking for those that have it all together, the ones that think that they can do it. God is looking for people who say, I don't have what it takes, but nonetheless, here I am. Send me, God. Do what you want. And this is all I have. What is it that you have in your hand? That's all God is asking. What is it? Will you give me the thing that you have in your hand? Maybe it's your voice. Maybe it's your ability to love people that nobody else will love. Whatever it is that's in your hand, God's saying, will you just give it to me? Or are you going to be like Moses and say, oh, but can you send someone else? Isn't there anyone else that you can send? What's in your hand this morning? What's in your hand this morning? Does it seem so significant to you that you don't even feel it worthy of offering it to the Lord? Does it seem so insignificant to you that you say there's no way that God can take this thing? And if you read through the book of Exodus, and we're making our way through it through this series, you will see how that staff went and carried Moses through many a journey. Many a journey. Because I want to remind you of this, that what God has asked you to do, some of you, it's God has been asking you to serve in ministry, at the church, in a specific area. And you say, oh no, there's so many other highly qualified people that know the Bible so much better than me. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? what's in your hand. And I believe this morning that the Lord would ask you and I to put down every excuse and to pick up the thing that's in our hand and release it to Him this morning. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Faithfulness, maybe God, maybe you're an incredible business person. And God wants to use that for His glory. God wants to use that so that you could be a king in His kingdom and spread the gospel through finances, whatever it may be. What is it in your hand? It may not be much to you, but remember that a little in the hands of an almighty God can go a whole lot further than you can ever imagine. Not just in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, we see a demonstration of that in an incredible way. Jesus is amongst the multitudes of people, and they had been there for hours, and He's teaching them, and His disciples come and say, "Jesus, what are we? Hello? These people are getting hungry." And Jesus said, "We'll feed them." Okay, we don't have any food, and even if we had enough money, we could never buy food for this many people. And what does He say? "What have you got? What have you got?" And they said, "Well, you know what? This little boy right here, he's got 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. It's not much, and there's no way that it could ever feed all these people." Jesus said, "Give it here. Give it here." The Bible says that Jesus did this. He took it, He broke it, and He gave thanks. And then guess what happened? He fed everybody. And there were 12 baskets remaining. The God of more than enough can take what seems so insignificant to you and I, what seems so little, 5 loaves and 2 fish in a little boy's lunchbox. That's how I pictured. I'm a kid's pastor, sorry. He has the ability to take it and make it more than enough. Whatever it is that's in your hand this morning, Moses, are you going to lay down your excuses, and are you going to pick up that thing and you're going to give it to me? What is it that's in your hand? What's in your hand? The reality is, you and I are just the vessels. We're just the conduits of God's mercy, God's grace. I don't deserve to be here. You don't deserve to be here. But we're just the vessels. God, if I have to be foolish so that you can display your glory and that you can bring people to you, so be it. Our job is to say yes and hand over whatever is in our hands to God. What is it? What are the excuses in your life this morning? What are the excuses? You know, the ones that you've said for a long time. Maybe, you know what our favorite thing is? Tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll start that diet. Tomorrow I'll do this. What are the excuses that you and I use to not answer the call on our lives? But do you know what? The call of God on our lives looks different for every single one of you. Most of you will never have the kind of call that I had in a room 6 months in Teen Challenge like that. Most of you didn't have that experience. But what are the excuses? We all have them. Are you going to say this morning, "God, I'm going to put the excuses down and I'm going to pick up that thing that seems so insignificant, seems so meager, so small, but I'm going to hand it to you, Lord. And I'm going to trust God, that you can take the little bit that I have and that you can use it for your glory. Because it's not about me. Because it's not about me. It's not about you. It's always been about his plan of redemption and rescuing people from sin and bondage. We still have the same mandate as Moses. It may not look the same, but it spiritually and physically, it's the same. It's the same mandate. Isn't there anyone else? Would you do me a favor and just stand to your feet this morning? Some of you this morning would say, you know what, I've never even had that burning bush experience with the Lord. I've never even had that moment where I relinquished my life to him. And if you're in this room this morning, maybe you would say, you know, I don't even know Jesus. I don't even know Jesus the way you talk about saying yes. I don't even know this Jesus that you talk of, Pastor Sidney. And I want to receive him. I need Jesus in my life. You can't answer a call until you know him. And so if you're in this room this morning and you say, you know what? I want to make the best decision that I will ever make in my life, and that's to become in an intimate relationship with Jesus. That is the best decision. Guess what? You think it was marrying your spouse. She was great. But Jesus and knowing him and asking him to come live in your heart, it is the best decision that you will ever make in your life. I promise you. I promise you. 19 years ago, I said yes. And I never looked back. Why? Because what he offered me was so much greater than anything that this world could offer. So if you're in this room, if you would, and you want to say yes to Jesus, I invite you just to lift up your hand. I invite you to lift your hand this morning. And in your heart and in your own mind, that you would just begin to say, Jesus, I need you in my life. I need you in my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you paid the price so that one day I could live with you in eternity in heaven. Come into my heart. Live in my heart. Make me new. Begin to say that to him. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to make you new. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But if you're in this room this morning and you say, Pastor Sid, I don't have much to offer, but I want to put down my excuses. I'm tired of always having an excuse, and I want to pick up that thing that I have in my hand. And your heart would say, God, if you could use anything, use me. If you could use anything, use me. If that's it, if that's you this morning, I believe that you need to come as just a sign of declaration to this altar this morning and say, God, no more excuses. I know your call. I believe that there is somebody in this room this morning that God called you when you were a little kid. That God spoke to you when you were a little kid. And you've been running from that call because it's hard. It's not easy. But I want to remind you this morning that God is not through with you. God is not finished with you. And because you've been running does not mean that God's plan for your life has been thwarted. God still has a purpose and a plan for your life. And this morning, you can relinquish control and you can surrender again to His Lordship. So if you're in this room this morning, you say, God, if you can use anything, use me. Why don't you make your way down to the altars? Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Whatever is in our hands, Lord, we give it to you. Whatever's in our hands, Lord, we give it to you. We give it to you this morning, Lord. Give it to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Can you do me a favor? I want you just to put your hands out like this, like you're literally giving something. Just a posture. It's just a symbol. And that thing that you're giving to the Lord, God's going to fill you. And He's going to put in your hands and in your life the very things that you need to accomplish what He's called you to. He will never, ever leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never call you to something that He will not equip you for. And the scripture teaches us that He has already given us everything that we need for life and godliness through His Son, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I thank you. We thank you this morning. We thank you this morning for your presence. We thank you this morning that whatever we have, God, we give it to you. Whatever is in our hands, Lord. No matter how insignificant, no matter how small, God, we give it to you because we know that with it, God, you can do incredible things. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that doors would begin to open for those that are surrendering and saying, God, use me. That doors would begin to open, that no person could ever shut, God, that doors would open. And God, that those in this place would understand the yes. We say yes, Lord. Here we are. Take everything that we have and use it for your glory. We love you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you go before us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you for your call on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Do you know that the Bible says that the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable on your life? And so I want to just let you know how much we love you, how much we're thankful for you. And I want to remind you that tonight we have our special board meeting. So please, not board meeting, our membership, if you're a member of the church, we need you to be here at 6 o'clock. And then also, the Royal Rangers are selling the lunches, so please grab one for $5 or grab 10. And we love you. We thank you for being here this morning. We love you, Life Point. Have an awesome Sunday. And if you need more prayer or if you'd like to talk, I'm here. We're here for you. Amen? Amen.